Today on Real Radio.
Our God's a prophetic God. Listen, the Bible is the only book in all of the world that is a prophetic book, the Bible. No other book in the writings of all religious founders and antiquity to modern time, to the pamphlet that's handed out on the street by some religious individual, nothing compares to the Bible.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called My Dear Church with a message titled, My Dear Pergamos, I've Written You a Letter. Beginning with the church at Ephesus, Jesus singles out actual churches in Asia Minor, which is now, of course, modern-day Turkey. His intention was to deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our hearts and where we are in our walk with the Lord. Many are confused over what's happening today. Some say it's God's judgment upon this earth, while others call it simply a process of evolution. But one thing really is very clear. God is speaking to the world, and you know what? We've got to listen. So today, on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us, in this global pandemic, we're making church history. That's the truth. Right now, in real time, we're watching biblical prophecies form. Jesus said we'd have days like this, and as we approach the church at Pergamos, we'll discover two overriding themes, the issue of faith, even unto death, versus extreme
Our
compromise
title
with
is
the
as
world.
It has been
and now in his
these
message
last several
called,
weeks,
My Dear
Pergamos,
I've written you a letter. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I've written to you a letter. Jesus Christ wrote seven letters to seven churches from heaven, given to his angel, passed on to John, and technically it's Jesus' last words, in a way. Many scholars will say that. But we can also argue, because it came from heaven after Jesus had ascended, that in many ways, it's Jesus' first words spoken to the church, perhaps even in this 21st century. In other words, this is what you need to hear from me, Jesus Christ, the one who holds the seven stars and the seven lampstands in my hands. And he's announcing what it's going to take for you and I to be faithful believers until the end, or until he comes again. What I love about that, church, is that you and I, mark it down, you and I are 21 centuries, 2,000 plus years, we are on this end of the church age, which means Christ, no doubt, is coming soon. Very excited about that. People, by the way, people are very excited about that. Why is that the case worldwide? Why? Because people want to know the end time truth. But the most important thing about end time Bible truth is the fact that, do you know Christ? And so follow along with me, if you would. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible tells us, these things, who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell, Jesus says, where Satan's throne is. That's got to be interesting, to say the least. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Verse 14, but I have a few things against you, says Jesus, because you have there, that is in your church and in your community of churches in that region, those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. We'll find out what that means in a moment. Thus, you also have those, so number two, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Isn't that awesome? Jesus hates manipulation of people and wickedness. He hates it. Of this thing, he says that he hates. He says in verse 16, which is the key, repent, or else I will come to you quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Verse 17, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I, says Jesus, will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except he who receives it. Remarkable teaching of Jesus. And in your note-taking, mark this down. We're going to go at fast-paced speed today. Mark this down in introduction to the church at Pergamos. A real-life place, archaeologically a fact. Listen, skeptics, unbelievers, archaeologically a fact. And you can go there today. You can get a ticket and you can fly and you can take a drive to this very place, a place of profound antiquity. It's a lively city today, but the archaeological remains are one of the great Christian stops of the ancient world. So I just want to get your juices flowing. You take what was written to them then by Jesus, and then we want to interpret it to how Jesus is speaking to us today. And this is an epic moment in time, church. And it's this fact that today you and I live in a historic moment. Make no mistake about it. You and I are living in historic times in real time. As I'm speaking right now, I'm speaking literally to the world, but I intend to speak to this church that gathers here, but the technology has taken us beyond our walls to the uttermost parts of the world. What does that mean? I believe it means Christ is coming back so soon. That's why this is going on. Why have all these things happened? You think it's going to be explained because there was a virus that got loose? I think it's way bigger than that, friends. I believe for a lot of reasons. It's not just that the way that the world is in right now. Do you see God is shaking the world right now? I thank God Almighty that we have a president right now that has surrounded himself with people of prayer. I'm absolutely impressed at what's going on in various parts of the nations of the world. God, the gospel is going forth like Brazil. And I told you last week that the most recorded downloads of Bible, sermons, Christian material, not Muslim material, not Hindu material, not Buddhist material, but Christian material, being downloaded into the nation of Persia or Iran. What does this mean? It means that Christ is coming again and you and I are living in truly remarkable times in real time. In this day, I could say that you and I are making church history as we navigate these global changes in real time. What will the church look like? If Jesus was to write an eighth letter to the church of the 21st century, what would he be saying to us? That's my prayer about this message. And right now in real time, you and I are watching biblical prophecies begin to form around the world. And we have a front row seat to what's going on. It's really remarkable. And these are global times, not just global in pandemic, but global in communication. Most importantly, global with the going forth of the gospel around the world. It's awesome. But get that into your mindset from here on out. Just don't let it leave you. I want to give you some verses. Again, this is all an introduction. Jesus Christ, regarding our days, said there'd be days like this. Remember that song, there'll be days like this? Jesus Christ said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this, my Jesus said. I want to have you hear that. Maybe you can hear that tune in your head. Here's the great news about that. Joel chapter 3, verse 1. Joel 3, verse 1. This is how God speaks. For behold, in those days and at that time. Our God's a prophetic God. Listen, the Bible is the only book in all of the world that is a prophetic book, the Bible. No other book in the writings of all religious founders and antiquity to modern time, to the pamphlet that's handed out on the street by some religious individual, nothing compares to the Bible. And one of the great things is that God says, I'm the prophetic God. Secondly, write this verse down. Luke 21:29. Luke 21:29 says, then Jesus spoke to the people in a parable. And he said to them, look at the fig tree and all the trees when they are already budding. That's what's going on around here right now. Last month or so, all the trees have been blooming and budding. Why? Because it's springtime. You see and know for yourselves that summer is near or that it's nearing. Luke 21:31. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Christ is coming back. Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. In those days, our God is a God that interrupts human time. Luke 21:43. For the days will come upon you. God speaking about the future. John 16, verse 4. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. What a tremendous statement. And so for us, we have paused at this time and in these days to examine and to determine if our hearts are right toward God. That's why we interrupted our study in the book of Peter to determine, where are we, God, with what's happening globally? And many of us, the Spirit of God perhaps is speaking to us to pray like never before, and to fast, and to seek God, and to find out what's going on for our homes, our marriages, or our singleness, or our churches, our nation. But in the letter to the seven churches, Jesus writes, and he tells them about what's happening in their day. So Pergamum, write this down if you would. The word Pergamum or Pergamus comes from the root word, which means to be married to, or tied to, or bonded to be welded to. It was a wealthy Roman city of great influence in the empire. It's interesting though, listen to this. Pergamus was well known for its invention of papyrus, paper, right? That's pretty cool. Unique as it was not on the trade route. Normally the famous cities of antiquity are on the trade routes. Not Pergamum, not Pergamos. It was unique because it had the papyrus industry going on there, but that's not why it was important. Listen to this. It became important to the Roman, Greek and Roman world because it was the spiritual hub of activity outside of Rome itself. Pergamum, and you'll see why in a moment, but Pergamus or Pergamum goes by either name. What's interesting about it is that there at this location, it's where you would make offerings. You're married. Listen, Pergamum is a place of great religious activity, great temples and great altars made to the ancient gods, and we'll see them in a moment. But the power of all of this is the fact that in that city, the spiritual aspect of things, the appeasement of the gods, then trickled down into the economy, into the Athena or athletic world, the worship of the gods of sports way back then, and spiritual investment of your life as a pagan. And what happened was because of its deep spirituality, everything that came down dictated, watch, it influenced the politics, the economy, the sports, the everything of the world. And it's just interesting that the name is rooted in marriage or mixed. And lo and behold, you have a church founded there and a church community in the city of mixture. And we'll see how that affected them. And so the viewing of the temple, for example, as you pulled into town, you would see this incredible, imposing structures of these altars and the amazing worship of their main gods, who we'll talk about in a moment. But if you were going to pull in, you know, you're arriving in on your donkey, you're pulling up in your camel, and as you get into the city limits, you would see something to the effect of "Welcome to Pergamum," where everyone is sincere. I'm making this up right now, but under the name "Welcome to Pergamum," elevation 200 feet, population 200,000. But right underneath the name would be the subtitle of the city, and it would be "Where everyone is sincere." There's no doubt about it. Whoever worshiped Athena, they were sincere. Whoever worshiped Zeus or whoever else, they were sincere. This was the place to be sincere. See, that's a big emotion in our world and in our life, and that dictates a lot of us. Oh man, you know, I don't know what the guy was saying was true or not, but oh, he was so sincere. And somehow we've been so duped by emotionalism that somebody can come across sincere about something and you'll begin to entertain what they're saying because of their sincerity, not because of the truth or the reality. And that's a very dangerous thing. So I want to have you consider something. One author wrote that Pergamum welcomed you to the city and its culture with paganism and compromise. As a city, it was a tough place to be if you were a spiritually weak or compromised Christian. There are two overriding themes that are here for us to apply in our own lives. Number one, the issue of faithfulness to the point of martyrdom. We'll hear about that soon. And then secondly, the issue of compromise. Will you be faithful or will you compromise? And what happened is the church at Pergamum did both. And you can't do both. I want you to think right now. I would assume that if you're a commander or a corporal, a captain, a lieutenant in your military branch, and you are involved in engagement or the battle of the enemy, you want from your soldiers 100% commitment. You want 100% commitment from the soldiers. You want 100% commitment from your commanders. You want 100% commitment from your citizens for whom you're fighting for. And I think that's true in business. I think it's true in everything. Listen, right now everybody's talking about doctors and nurses. I was listening to someone last night tell us that one of the global reasons why areas have failed regarding this pandemic, listen to this, this is gonna hurt, is that now the data is showing that many people were mistreated or misdiagnosed by sincere nurses and physicians who didn't know what to do because they were being told by non-experts in the medicine realm, you gotta do this, don't treat them with that, treat them with the other thing, don't do this. And there was confusion, and a lot of places now around the world are saying, we failed because we had inadequate training or we were not sticking to our training. Compromise. Compromise in truth, compromise in practice, and the church at Pergamum was compromising in their witness. It was a very, very happy, fun place to live. Beautiful place to live. Whatever your heart desired, you could do it there. Remember that as we get into this. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17 says, 1 John 2, 15 to 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world, Christian. He's talking to Christians. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know what that is, right? If you can't live without going to the mall, if you can't live below a certain income line, if you can't live unless you have 3 degrees behind your name, if you can't live with clothes from that brand, the world has gotten a hold of you. It's not, none of those things are wrong, by the way. If you have doctorates and masters behind your name, God bless you. But listen, thank God for all that. Thank God for what you have, but it's not your identity. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. It's dying. Is that not true? The world is dying and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The heartbeat, the pounding of your chest, as it were, is God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do tomorrow? Lord, take my life and use my life. Very important passage also in this is 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Imagine that. Examine yourselves and test yourselves. Do you not know that you yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? The challenge is, do you know? Don't you know you're a Christian and that Christ has purchased you with his own blood? And you need to examine yourself. And that's what these seven letters are. They're an x-ray of the heart and soul of a church. But it's not only the church as we're learning. He's speaking to the pastor of that church. He's speaking to the community of that church. And I believe he's also speaking to the nation. So we'll go through these as fast as we can. Number one, jot it down if you would. My dear Pergamus, I've written you a letter. Number one is found in verse 12, and it's requiring you to be prepared. God is saying, be prepared. Oh my goodness, be prepared. Could you imagine in getting prepared that there would be a run on Bibles? Get prepared. What happens when the announcement, there's a crisis, get prepared. And everybody goes to their stores and buys toilet paper. Get prepared. Jesus is saying, get prepared. Church, prepare yourself. Know my word. Do it. Seek my face. I love you. Your neighbors are lost without me. Go tell them. Reach out. Reach to the world. Get the word out. Go. Speak. Say. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. And God is calling the church today. And he's saying, listen, you need to get prepared and stop being mixed with the world. Cut those things off of the world that cause you to lust, that cause you to have pride, that causes you, that drives you by desire. Listen, I don't know if you've been reading about this stuff, but there's been a lot of dynamic to this world shutdown. And for one thing, I've been reading about how people who had affairs, they couldn't keep up their affair because now they're home with their husband or their wife. Ha! That's classic. Amazing. Sadly, there are those who found out that they had a marriage, but it was all wrapped around being away from each other, and now not having their jobs, they're in the same roof and they can't cope with each other. And that's sad, and that needs to be worked on. You need to fix that. But a lot of things were shaken and shifted that exposed good and bad. When God says, I want you to be prepared, he's talking about being prepared in his truth, because his truth winds up affecting all things of life. Look at verse 12. And to the angel of the church at Pergamos. So remember, the angel's the pastor. Don't get all goofy and weird that it's actually an angel, like, you know, some angel. It's not an angel. The word angel right here to the seven letters of the seven churches is because the angel's held responsible for how it goes there. That is a messenger, angelos, messenger. This is the pastor. So mark that down, singular, the pastor. So Jesus is saying, I'm talking to you, pastor, at the church at Pergamos. Right. These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. So look at that carefully, verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write. So this is what I want written to that pastor of that church. Who's speaking? Jesus is saying, I'm speaking. I'm the one that has the sharp two-edged sword. Listen, church, the sharp two-edged sword is something that we do not even have to guess about. It's found in Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, listen, the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word. God's word.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called My Dear Pergamos, I've Written You a Letter. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we can break free from chaos. And in His strength, we can find peace and refuge for our weary souls. My Dear Pergamos, I've Written You a Letter. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called My Dear Church, a series that's taken from the book of Revelation about the seven letters written to seven churches and what Jesus wants to say to the church today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, God's Word is alive, thankfully, and powerful, and reproduces the nature of Christ in us. But if our spirit is weak, like the church at Pergamos, the things of this world really can overtake us and cause us to stumble. So if you're not really growing and moving in the things of God and you need some help, we have the perfect tool to get yourself on track. The Real Life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet gives you instant access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer. There's devotions for your quiet time, previous broadcasts of Real Radio, Bible sermons and podcasts if you're in the car or on the go. You can also watch Pastor Jack's YouTube channel or go to his Facebook page for some inspiration and important updates. The Real Life mobile app. It's available at the App Store or from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. here on Real Radio.